Welcome to the Chase Down Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Rowan. The Cleveland Cavaliers have had their Baron Davis against the Miami Heat game of the year. They somehow went into LA and beat a not very good Lakers team without LeBron James, but still a bit of a surprising one, especially given that LA nightlife is undefeated. But I guess it got its first loss. So we've got a bit of a special podcast here. As almost always, I'm joined by my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going, buddy?
It's going well. Every Cavs win is a bit unexpected, for what it's worth.
You're not lying. That's a very, very good point. Also joining us today to help our, man, I don't even know how to phrase this properly, but our good friend Damon Arangula is here. Tortured Lakers fan and just all around great dude. Also one of our biggest supporters of the podcast. So I'm pretty excited to have you on, man. How's it going, buddy?
Of course, I've been supporting for years and you guys are such dicks that now is when you invite me.
To be fair, we have invited you other times and it hasn't quite worked out. Maybe only one or two times, but let's be honest, this is probably the best time that we possibly could have had you on.
Damon, in defense of your theory, my direct words to Justin in our G chat were, let's get Damon on tonight. I want to troll him about the win.
God, that's
how this started.
As long as Morton's not here, I'm okay.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, Ryan would probably just go too mean with this.
So. Mort is much like LeBron. He doesn't bring it most nights anymore, but he rises to the occasion.
How dare you?
So what was going through your mind through that game? Because, like, for me, especially with the Cavs up, it never really felt safe, but it also felt like, okay, this isn't the Lakers with LeBron, so I know they're not the same threat to come back. And just kind of the longer it went on, I'm like, man, this would be really, really funny. And actually, speaking of Mort, he had a good tweet with like 5 minutes left in the fourth quarter where the lead has been big enough for long enough that no matter what the result, it's still going to be funny at the expense of the Lakers. So what were you going through in your own head, Damon, as this game was going on?
I got to tell you, like, I've had this same thought a few times this year where I'm just watching these games and I'm bummed watching them more often than I thought I would be. Like, it's one thing, yeah, so obviously this was a bad loss for the Lakers. Hell, it might be a bad loss for you guys when we talk lottery odds, but I'm surprised at how much of a bummer this team has been. Last year, yes, they had Julius Randle, but last year, and Brook Lopez for that matter, they were fun most nights. And the young guys, I thought, for any time LeBron was going to miss this year, I thought they were going to have a chance to really step up, like a guy like Kyle Kuzma, a guy like Brandon Ingram, who the talk like a month ago was, oh, when LeBron's not playing, you know, Brandon Ingram's numbers are good. Well, turns out it might just be because he's cooking bench units, but he's not the real deal yet to be taking on that kind of a role. Generally speaking, like, yeah, the feeling of being bummed out by the team. But beyond that, it's lot of question marks, lot of sort of the conversation about the roster construction is really coming true. I pulled up the video of Magic Johnson in Summer League being asked about his team, and he's like, oh, well, we have shooting, but you can't out Golden State. And I don't know what the hell they're doing, Matt.
I'm wondering, because obviously Cavs fans relished this a little bit more because of, you know, the loaded LeBron left us for you guys. Did it matter at all to you that it came against the Cavs, or was it just they're getting beaten by another shit team? Do you care?
No, I don't. But the thing is, I do feel a little vindicated because anytime I can remind you guys that I was very high on Jordan Clarkson, I can say, hey, look, they beat the Lakers.
Yeah, too bad Larry Nance wasn't part of it too.
I think it's really cool that you're willing to blow your credibility with all our listeners in the first 5 minutes. I think that's a really that's really brave.
Man, to his credit though, Jordan Clarkson, and I will repeat this, he was good in the regular season for the Cavs, and he's
been pretty good this regular season.
Yeah,
I wrote about it recently after a game. Like, I really have come to appreciate what he brings on a night-to-night basis. And I don't know how I got here and how weird of a season it's been, but I'm not being sarcastic. I really don't mind watching the guy play.
He's one of those guys that it's almost like he's like a YMCA star where he takes some really bad shots.
They have YMCAs in Canada.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. but he's capable of taking and making shots that like not a lot of guys in the league are able to do. And his shot selection is probably a big part of why he isn't a more effective player. But when he's hot and he's actually hitting the shots, it's just really impressive to watch. And when you look at just how terrible the team has been this season, he definitely can be a breath of fresh air at times.
Well, the thing that I said when I was writing about it a couple games ago is that what's kind of funny about him is he's a good bad shot maker, right? But like normally on a good team, you don't really like that because you don't want to take bad shots. But the Cavs are actually incapable of creating good shots. So if I had to pick someone to take the bad shots, it has to be Clarkson.
Yeah.
They can make a couple of them in a row.
But still, Damon, you got our hopes up just a little bit too high. And like,
yeah, just a smidger.
Yeah, just a smidge. And I mean, at that point, I was just happy to get rid of Isaiah Thomas. And
I still remember that first game. It was against the Celtics, right?
Yeah. The Paul Pierce retirement game.
That's retirement. Right.
As he was talking mad shit before the game, and then he's sitting courtside as they just get absolutely throttled.
That was a great game.
That was a very good game. Anyway.
Anytime we can have we can unite to slander the Celtics, I'm here for it.
Well,
which, by the way, they lost to the Nets tonight.
Yes, they did. Cut to your boy, D'Angelo Russell.
Now, Laker, Damon, right? where were you on D'Angelo Russell? Because as we all know, if you're going to move Timofey Mozgov's contract, you have to attach a second overall pick to it. I mean, it's not like he was traded two more times.
Hey, man, they got the Kuzma pick in that deal. So
yeah, okay,
it's pretty much a wash.
You know what's crazy about that? I've gone back and forth so often on that deal. And yeah, like on a night like last night, I'm just watching that game. I'm like, you know what? D'Angelo Russell could go for 25, like right now. When the deal happened, I was all in on it. I should say I was really pissed off when it first happened. And then I kind of step back. I'm like, okay, they're going to get D'Angelo Russell. They're going to have cap space. There's Space Jam 2's in the works, so we're going to make LeBron come here. All that stuff. And so I think my bullishness on Lonzo made me sort of not worry about it. Also, there were enough concerns about his sort of behind the scenes, even though I guess in retrospect you can say, he was a second, third-year player when he got traded. So, yeah, he might have been immature. But two different coaching staffs in Byron Scott and Luke Walton ultimately gave up on him. And that's a pretty big red flag for me. And yes, the Timofey Mozgov contract was so bad that you did have to give up quite a bit to get it, get away from it. And Brook Lopez was positive for the team. So I think the D'Angelo Russell trade actually looks worse now only because the young players on the Lakers have not grown basically at all.
Right. I think you tweeted that today, right? Or maybe it was last night in your sense of rage. Like no one has taken an appreciable step forward, including everyone's golden boy, Josh Hart, who everyone kind of thought was the next, like, Danny Green, great role player. It's like no one's really playing appreciably better.
I mean, you look at this, right? They had three number two picks. They had D'Angelo Russell, they had Lonzo Ball, and they had Brandon Ingram, back to back to back, right? They probably will not get a single all-star appearance out of all of those people. Now, D'Angelo Russell might make it, but do you know what I mean? Where you can't whiff on that many picks and expect like you to come out unscathed for it.
Man, we talk about Lakers exceptionalism and all this stuff. Imagine if we were talking about the Orlando Magic, if the Orlando Magic had made those three picks.
Or the Kings.
Yeah.
Yeah, and traded away D'Lo. I mean, it's tough because at the same time, I don't think these guys are necessarily busts. Like, I think they're all very functional.
It's almost like more frustrating.
Yeah.
A bust, you just go, ah, shit. Yeah. And then you walk away.
And I mean, sometimes you draft a guy and there's just no way to kind of anticipate exactly how much growth he's going to have in his career, what those hiccups are going to be. I mean, sometimes you end up with like an Andrew Wiggins where the drive just isn't there. And even though that was a concern, I think everyone thought, okay, well, this guy's going to come in and he's at least going to be a defensive stopper. I don't know if he's going to be aggressive enough offensively. Then it turns out offense is all he does, just not very well.
Oh, Justin, I'm sorry to be rudely interrupt you and kind of embarrass you, but we actually did get Andrew Wiggins.
No, well, well, you also cut me off before the punchline because I was going to say when you draft a Wiggins, you need to trade him before his value gets too low.
God damn it.
Damon, you fucked up, dude.
Shit.
Were you in that kind of class of people? Like, I mean, like the counter to any they should have traded Ingram takes are typically tend to be, you know, Spurs weren't trading Kawhi to the Lakers. But the people who seem to scream that the loudest are also the people who didn't want to trade Ingram for Kawhi in the first place.
Dude, quite frankly, any Laker fan who didn't want to trade Ingram for Kawhi in the summer is like a goddamn moron. Because what are the chances that you're even going to get to like 50% or 60% of what Kawhi can do? Yeah, he was hurt, but I was definitely like, I was all in on doing that kind of a deal. It's one thing to say, okay, get cute with Paul George, who, you know, is like a top, let's say 20 player or 25 player versus Kawhi Leonard, who on his best night is a top 5 player. You get those people when you can. And Brandon Ingram was all potential. And I think that this year has probably done nothing but hurt his trade value.
Yeah. I mean, it's been, I guess he's been a little better with the added responsibility without LeBron, but not like significantly so, and not on winning situations.
I don't see what he is at his like sort of, you know.
Well, I guess like if you're looking at he was drafted in the Ben Simmons draft, wasn't he?
Yep.
So like they went 1-2 if I'm correct on this. Right. And like, you know, we talk about Simmons and how he's a bit of a clunky fit next to a lot of other stars. You know, because he can't shoot and kind of needs the ball at all times. But, like, you could kind of conceivably, like, if you drop Ben Simmons in, you know, Milwaukee and gave him Giannis's situation, you could kind of you could see a really, really successful team with Simmons as a primary option, even if secondary options are clunky. I haven't seen any evidence that Brandon Ingram can lead a successful team as the top option. And it's been a pretty bummer year for anyone who thought he would be a really good secondary or tertiary player.
Right.
So it's like, what is he?
I mean, there was a rumor that LeBron's camp was viewing him as a potential Pippen, but I'm like, well, he's
based on what?
Right. Exactly. Not that good at defense, really bad on offense. So what exactly is he? It's just, we're tantalized A, by his age, B, by his sort of physical like skills and tools that he may have. But I don't see it. And I've sort of been anti-Ingram for a while. Like, I still think Lonzo has a future. I think Lonzo can be, like, a contributor on a really good team at his best. I don't understand what it is with Ingram, and I'm getting more and more bummed out.
Yeah, Ingram doesn't have the nose for defense like Pippen. But I think it's tough for the Lakers' young guys because – even though they've kind of stalled out a little bit this season, I think Kuzma has shown some growth if you're kind of looking for one that kind of progressed from last season. But growth isn't always linear. But when you're dealing with a small window like you have with LeBron, where you're just trying to capitalize on the last couple of years of your prime, you can't really tolerate or not. I don't know if tolerate's the right word, but it puts you in a tough position from a roster construction standpoint when guys are a little bit stagnant, because that does hurt their value on the open market, fair or not. Like, it still wouldn't surprise me if one of the young guys from the core made a leap at some point. But now
you're waiting on the leap. You're not, right. You're not just hoping, like, their trade value has taken a dip. So now you need something to happen for this roster to be able to flip them.
Yeah. What are you guys seeing? So, I mean, obviously when LeBron came back the second time, And there were obviously, like, Kyrie was on another level, but what are you seeing? You guys, I mean, jokes aside, you guys saw a lot of this coming.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that hard to see coming, and I think that really the situations were not that dissimilar. You had some young talent. I mean, obviously Kyrie was on another level, and Love was on another level, but had big adjustments. But there was all this secondary talent that didn't really make sense around them. You know, like the Dion Waiters of the world. Anderson Barajas was starting in his, you know, he was already washed up at that point. You know, it's just kind of a weird structure that they had. So, I mean, I think we kind of see this. It's interesting how much having a LeBron-led team kind of builds common ground in fan bases, even as we snipe at one another.
It's so true.
Because it's such a unique experience. And, you know, he does require certain things. I think the thing that, you know, really chapped my ass the most through the process was all the talk about getting these, you know, versatile, do-it-all players. But really, unless you actually can do it all, it's not that helpful.
Well, the other thing is, Lance
Stephenson is nominally a guy who can dribble, pass, shoot, defend, but he's not really good at any of it. So, like, yeah, I remember one of my best friend always had this bit that Keith Bogans was the biggest fraud in the history of sport. Because he just looked like a 3-and-D guy, but he couldn't do either.
Oh, yes.
I love that take so much. And the funny thing is, like, there's no denying the last year in Cleveland, there just wasn't supplemental playmaking around LeBron, at least not on a consistent basis. With L.A., it's like, okay, I understand that they have that maybe Brandon Ingram can be initiator. Lonzo obviously is a gifted playmaker. But they didn't put, like, the supplemental pieces to really highlight that. They got other guys like Rondo and Lance that are supposed to do those exact same things. And David Griffin had talked about this, but when you have a LeBron team, you have to be really careful on who you're giving touches to and who you're giving possessions to. You have to kind of allocate those well. And I think if they had more guys that were able to space the floor, that were complementary pieces to both LeBron as well as the young Lakers, I think that puts them in a better position and might actually help the young guys develop. Which, as much as I was critical of them not trading them and getting another star in there, I think the most offensive thing is if you're going to double down and say, okay, we're going to count on these young guys developing, maybe we get a star free agent, maybe we're able to trade for a guy for less. The fact that you're not putting them in this position to succeed is kind of mind-boggling to me, because LeBron alone isn't going to make other guys just better by his presence. I mean, he's going to take some of the load off of them. But if you're a guy that needs the ball in your hands to succeed, LeBron being there isn't really going to make things a whole hell of a lot easier for you. You need to have the pieces that fit and the kind of help around you.
Yeah, that's what never made sense to me about the roster that they built, which is like, you know, you are all your young core, other with the exception of Josh Hart, are these kind of odd fits that are not your traditional LeBron supporting cast members, right? So you say, hey, that's okay. We're going to buck the trend and go with a guy like Lonzo, who's not a shooter, but he's a good ball mover. And you can use LeBron as a screener off ball with him, and he can initiate the off. You don't need LeBron to initiate the offense every possession. It's like, okay, you can talk me into that. And, you know, Ingram, you know, he can be a little bit of a cutter, you know, maybe a secondary pick and roll creator. You know, Kuzma's just a straight up bucket getter. Like, we haven't seen a lot of those guys around LeBron. So, but like, I was, you know, I'm not closed-minded. You could talk me into that experiment. But then with these tertiary role players, these additional signings where they flesh out the roster around them with, you know, Lance and KCP and Rondo, and it's like, wait, what are you doing? Yep. You already had these. Like, all those signings are kind of facsimiles of the players they already have that they wanted to build around LeBron with. And it's like, you need diversity on the roster. They're very samey. Like, Rondo and Lonzo are very samey. KCP and Hart are samey, and stylistically, I'm saying.
Plus, there isn't a George Hill.
And they don't even have a George Hill.
God damn it.
I don't know, man. It does feel like this roster just doesn't make sense. But something I'm interested in hearing from you, Damon, is, you know, one of the most famous critiques of the Cavaliers in the first and second LeBron era, but especially loud in the second era when the Cavs were supposed to have a lot more talent, is they couldn't win without LeBron. One of my favorite, I probably made back all of my other gambling losses by just fading the Cavs money line every time LeBron got announced out before the line moved. Like, it was just a guaranteed loss. And I think Lakers fans felt like that was not going to be their fate this season.
Right.
Have you found the not having LeBron experience is? Because I always felt, sorry to answer before I give you a chance to, but I kind of wanted to frame it. like, I always felt like it was a bit unfair because LeBron is a system unto himself. Right. So it's really hard to take him off the floor. And it doesn't feel like Luke Walton has found a way around it either.
Right. I do think this is probably, if I was just to pick one, this would probably be the biggest disappointment I've had this season. You know, in watching a game like against Cleveland, the truth is that while LeBron being hurt has been bad, we've also had like Rondo injuries and Kuzma injuries that sort of coincided with it. So part of the reason why the Lakers look even worse is that. But what I don't really quite understand, and maybe you guys can fill me in on this, but the team's energy is so bad without LeBron too. It's not only that, okay, their offense gets stuck in the mud. It's that they're starting with these deficits. And I do think that I have sort of backed away from criticizing Luke Walton because it's like a really, really tough job that he's been put into. I do think that sort of a lack of a proper offensive system in place. And you guys, like you guys mentioned this, but maybe it is just because at some point LeBron becomes a system and pulling him out is just too much of a shock to the team. But beyond that, I'm really surprised that young guys like Kuzma is a kind of a guy that I would think would be able to sort of rise above this and go on a crazy run. I'm surprised Ingram hasn't taken it upon himself to, you know, use this opportunity to show that he has the skills to be that, you know, number two option, because these guys all hear all the noise and they hear all about how the Lakers don't have a second star. And I'm surprised Lonzo hasn't been able to step up. Maybe that's just not who they are characterized, but have you guys noticed, like, in the absence of LeBron, nobody is just able to step up?
Yeah, there hasn't really been a pecking order that's been established. And again, I still think part of it is that the roster doesn't, like, as much as it doesn't make a ton of sense around LeBron, it doesn't make a ton of sense all around the young guys either. Like, I don't think they're being put into a great position. And I think the Luke Walton criticism probably goes just a little bit too far. You do have a lot of...
That's just because you just follow Rye. I love Rye. It's my favorite follow.
He's sensational. I do think, like, especially when you look at this roster, it has just so many guys that haven't, either aren't good defenders or hadn't been up to this point. And there's still a top 10 defense, which I think is really admirable. And I mean, you look at their record without LeBron, it's the winning percentage is better than the Cavs had without LeBron. It's fairly similar to what Miami had when LeBron sat. Although in both of those instances, there's some kind of context missing, but I still think that they actually have done a pretty decent job at times. But there wasn't an established system yet around LeBron, and there sure as hell isn't one when he's not there. So I think it's just that
I genuinely think it's just a reality of having him, that he has so much like gravitational pull. Like, I think I'm kind of just over criticizing teams that can't succeed without him on the floor. Like, right. Like, and you know where else you'll see it? Where our good friends Sam and Andy will criticize Steve Kerr. The Warriors don't look right when Steph sits either. They just have so much talent that it's fine.
Hey, Carter, I don't think you can build a good team around Kevin Durant. I mean, could a Kevin Durant team even make it to the playoffs? I don't know.
Can I briefly take us on a side? Can those fucking losers stop in their little quiet echo chamber on the Light Years podcast, pretending that the Warriors aren't as talented as people say they are.
Okay, that
have you noticed this
so
from them?
So much. Oh,
they've been doing this sneaky little thing where it's like, well, you know, when Steph's only taking mid-range shots and Draymond can't shoot, you know, they don't look as talented. It's like, no shit, they're not playing well. That doesn't mean they're not talented.
No, Carter, you don't
you
get
weirdos.
It. If LeBron just let George Hill cook more, they would have beat the Warriors last year. You don't get it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Donald,
those children need to be challenged.
Misinformation out there. Man.
Anyway, so I'm sorry.
Let me ask you this, actually. I'm curious about something. Are you surprised that there hasn't been more noise about LeBron dissatisfied with Luke or wanting a trade to be done while he's injured and all that?
Well, he's in semi-retirement, Damon. He's mellowed out.
God damn it.
Yeah, he's sipping Mai Tais on Hermosa Beach.
Yeah, did you see him baked as hell on Savannah's Instagram?
Those are hilarious.
He's smoking up that recreational weed and just chilling, man.
He's been
healthy for 6 days. He's just not in any rush to get back.
The most invested I've seen LeBron in a teammate all year has been him hooking up Jetty with his barber when he came into town.
How dare you?
Who, let's just call it what it is. Jetty, big light player, big game player. I wish he played the Lakers every game because he was really good in the game in Cleveland as well.
He was so fun.
Yeah, he's been really playing quite well in the last, like, I mean, the defense is still kind of a tire fire for him, and I don't know why it is. Like, I can't quite figure out why he can't defend at all other than just not being strong because he's athletic and he cares and tries very hard, but he's just very easily manipulated in space right now. Maybe the Cavs could use a new defensive coordinator. Who's to say?
He's 42 minutes.
He's taken over for LeBron admirably.
Yeah. I don't know. He's really, really been playing quite well. He's been getting to the rim a lot better and actually finishing, drawing some fouls, which he kind of just wasn't doing.
I think that has to do with his back getting better. Like, I think his mobility was pretty affected, as was his kind of outside shot there when he was having those back issues.
Where are you guys right now? Just a mid-season checkup on how Colin Sexton is playing.
I mean, he's pretty good against the Lakers.
Yeah.
I've said this a bunch of times, but I really thought that him being a competent scorer was going to be very heavily reliant on Kevin Love in his first year, just because I knew he had so many limitations. And the fact that he's been as good as he has been, at least as a scorer, without Love being there, to me is encouraging. I think his vision as a passer is a little further behind than where I expected. So he's got a lot of work to ahead of him, but I think overall, like, I haven't been super encouraged, but I also haven't been discouraged. And I came into this year with low expectations.
So yeah, I think the Sexton thing is really interesting because everything I'm going to say just now is going to sound like I'm damning him with faint praise. And maybe I am a little bit, but here's the thing. He's still not getting a lot of assists, but he is trying to pass. That sounds mean, but it's not. No, I promise.
It is legitimately.
Very early in the year, he would drive into traffic and just sort of slop something up. Right. And, you know, he would miss the guy in the opposite corner. And I've kind of found that he kind of goes into the lane in the last couple weeks, kind of with the intent to figure something out. It's like, okay, here are my options as I'm going in. And, you know, the pass isn't always located perfectly, or sometimes he just misses stuff, or he'll overpass. You know, I've noticed that sometimes he'll go in thinking like, all right, I'm going to drive and kick this possession. Right. And passes up a decent lane or angle for a finish to force a pass or like some weird wraparound. But the effort is actually important for a guy as raw as Sexton, where, you know, the best way to get better at stuff you're not good at is to do it. And, you know, a benefit of playing on a dog shit Cavs team is that he gets to try and fail a little bit and has that kind of latitude, and he needs to use it. So I've really appreciated that. And more than that, you know, his field goal percentage in a lot of games has been pretty ghastly this month. But with that said, he went from not getting to the line at all recently to getting to the line 4, 5, 6 times a game in the month of March. And or in much of January. Sorry, it's not March yet. And I think that's another important thing for his game, because his free throw rate has been kind of anemic early in his career, and that's been a big worry sign for me, because, listen, I know he's listed at 6'2". I don't think he's 6'2". I think he's 6 foot nothing, the way he stacks up to everyone. They must have just measured at the hair, not the head. And he, you know, I know we kind of like his three at times, but he doesn't, he's not a guy who's going to kill you off the dribble. So when you're a guy like that, you just have to get to the line to boost your efficiency. And he hasn't really been able to do that early in his career. So the last month has been encouraging on that front.
Game to game, though, does he have that same, like, energy he brought to, like, obviously he was famous in Summer League when he was, you know, posing and doing all that?
I don't know, man. They're down by 20 by half every game. Like,
I do actually appreciate that he's not trying to do that when they're down a ton, because then it would be a lot tougher to take, that's for sure. So I do like that when he is flexing and kind of talking trash, it's always in, like, games where they're actually hanging around, or when he made a big play. It's not just for the sake of doing it. So I do
appreciate. When the game's close, he is, like, he gets me pretty hyped, you know, like, even if he doesn't do it, like, someone hits a big three and he'll be, like, fist pumping real hard, like, talking shit, like, really annoying people. Like, I like his personality. The Cavs beat is on this weird crusade to shit on him for not caring, which is, like, really weird. Have you noticed that, Justin? It's like,
yeah, and it doesn't match up the eye test of at least how he acts on the court. But
like, what is he supposed to do?
I don't know.
You know, like, they're going after him for this quote after the game that he said the season's been fun. And clearly he's talking about how he loves all of his teammates.
Right.
Like, he's it's like a brotherhood. It's been a fun year.
The Cavs, like, after the shitty start to the season, like, they actually seem to have, like, a pretty good locker room culture.
I mean, I was listening to the road tripping with, I want to say, Nance. And they were talking about how bummed George Hill was to be traded. Like, like, how, like, sad. He was genuinely sad to leave everyone. Like, it is a tight locker room. They suck. But, you know, like, it was just, like, this weird, like, crusade. Like, they want him just to be as miserable as they are to be watching the team.
Who I don't think would be bummed to be traded, and I think is, like, currently now doing that Dave Chappelle Kobe joke where he's playing for his freedom? Alec Burks. Like, I think that guy, you look at the last 5 games, and I think he knows that the trade deadline's, like, 2-3 weeks away, and he's been balling out, and
he's awesome. Trying to go play with James Harden
or basically anywhere. And I mean, I've enjoyed the Burks experience. If they hung on to him, like, it wouldn't be devastating to me, but
yeah, I can keep him long term though, you know, he's an expiring contract.
Yeah, I think he's definitely going to get traded, and Varden has hinted pretty heavily that Rodney Hood's going to get dealt as well. So things are going to get a little more interesting in the very near future.
More Jordan Clarkson shots.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Carter, I got to be honest with you, man. There's just so many nights with this Cavs team that I'm just going to bed wailing, crying myself to sleep. And you know what? I'm sure you can relate to this because you're also newly married, but it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for our spouses, and I'm really worried about the longevity of my marriage. Do you have any pillows that are comfortable?
Well, Justin, I have a way that you could probably comfort yourself, and that's my pillow. You know, Justin and I, with the new year, we made New Year's resolutions. You probably made one too. If you're planning to eat better, exercise more, be more patient, be kinder, or whatever, it all starts with a good night's rest. You can go to mypillow.com, click on the 4-pack special, and I really am. I like to kind of layer my pillows, Justin. I don't A lot of people sleep with just one pillow, and I think that's insane. So this deal is actually perfect for me. I'm a four-pack kind of guy. So if you go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special and enter my promo code COZY. That's COZY. And you'll get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows. It's amazing what a great it's amazing what a difference a great pillow makes. Don't you dare fix that. If you go to MyPillow.com right now and click on their four-pack, shipping's absolutely free. That's right. No shipping costs. Zippo, zilch, nada. And don't forget about their 60-day money-back guarantee. There's nothing better than the gift of restorative sleep. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the four-pack special, and use my code COZY to get two premium MyPillows and two go-anywhere pillows. You can go anywhere with those, Justin. Oh, yeah. MyPillow.com or call 800-966-1472. And remember, my promo code can be used for any offer on MyPillow.com. Again, that's promo code COZY. You know what's not so cozy, Justin?
What?
The Mennonite mob. Tell me all about it.
Carter, you've heard plenty of stories about drug cartels. They're all over the news. But the crime ring you probably never heard of is one of the most dangerous in the world. They are the Mennonite mob. You heard right? Mennonites.
Mennonites?
95% of them are kind, God-fearing people. But there's one group that has smuggled millions of dollars of narcotics from Mexico right up here to Canada.
I'd like to know that for our listeners that the ad read says 99% of Mennonites are good, God-fearing people. And Justin has implicated another 4% of them. But that's just the way it goes. Luckily, if you want to learn about that 1% of the Mennonites that are smuggling millions of dollars from narcotics from Mexico to Canada, Wednesday is starting at January 23rd at 10, 9 Central. WGN America presents the new TV series Pure, based on the true events of the Mennonite mob.
The show is about Noah Funk, the newly elected Mennonite pastor who is determined to rid his community of the drug cartel. But he finds himself in way over his head, and the good pastor, along with his wife, will do some very bad things, all in the name of protecting their family.
Think of Pure as Breaking Bad meets Witness meets Narcos. A lot of meeting. Get hooked on Pure Wednesday, starting January 23rd at 10, 9 Central, only on WGN America. WGN America is available on DirecTV Channel 307, Dish Channel 239, or just check your local cable listings for the channel in your area.
Well, Damon, while we're talking about Cavs guys getting shipped off, let's talk about which ones you'd like on the Lakers in a theoretical world.
Let's play a little. And I want you to answer this with all seriousness, Damon. A little game we cooked up. It's just an old fashioned would you rather.
Oh dear God! Okay, I'm ready.
Now, we're talking just the players, so let's remove contract, all that messy context that makes jokes less fun. Let's get that out of here.
Let's start here.
Let's start here. Clarkson or Lance?
Clarkson.
Didn't have to think about that one.
Get Lance the hell out of here.
All right, how about this one? Rodney Hood or Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
Oh, God damn. Give me KCP. Gotta keep Clutch happy.
That's a very politically correct answer.
Let's go mean here. Rank the three following players in terms of who you'd want on the team.
Oh shit.
Larry Nance Jr., JaVale McGee, and Tyson Chandler.
JaVale, Larry Nance, Tyson Chandler.
Wow, that really surprised me. That is the exact opposite order I thought you were going to go.
For comedic purposes, I think it's the right order, though, because JaVale has legitimately been pretty good this year.
Yeah.
It surprised me because he's had issues like with stamina. That's been a big thing. And his defense, even though he would block shots, was never actually that good. He's actually been a serviceable guy for LA. So
Tyson Chandler brought like this old man energy. He was just storing it up because he hadn't played in Phoenix in like 3 years for like real basketball. And he had this burst when he got onto the team. And now, man, it's like night after night. Like sometimes he looks okay, but most of the nights he looks his age.
Yeah, it's almost like when you get really, really old, you can't play basketball consistently well anymore.
Almost.
Pretty wild.
Hey, man.
All right, here's
plus a big 12 one, Damon. 4 minutes against the Cavs, so that's pretty good.
That is true.
Here's a big one, Damon.
All right.
Ante Zizic or Ivica Zubac?
First of all, never talk about Zubac Shakur in such poor terms ever again.
Oh man!
How about
game or heart?
all you traded Kyrie Irving and all you got back was Ante Zizic. I gotta put that on a shirt.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Jetty Osman or Brandon Ingram?
you gotta give me Turkish Jordan.
Attaboy. That's how you get invited back to the podcast. Luke Walton or Tyronn Lue?
Is this LeBron James you're asking or me?
Well, no. I think it's you. I mean, it's LeBron. That'd be very good for the clout of this podcast. I'm going to be honest.
I'll stay with Luke. I'll stay with my guy.
I'm a Walton believer. I don't know about you, Damon.
I'm frustrated. So I am pretty frustrated at times where there is a little bit of like this strength in numbers. Like we want to play all these guys and, Rondo's feeling it today. So we're going to have Lonzo on the bench to finish the game. Like a lot of that kumbaya stuff that needs to go away. But he's young and he, like you guys mentioned, the defense has consistently been better than their talent. That's been the case for the last 2 years.
Imagine that, Justin.
I know.
Imagine a defense being better than the sum of its parts. I could not fucking imagine.
And like considering how rocky this year has been and the sort of all the onslaught of the drama that LeBron James comes with and all that, he still kept that locker room together. And I think that's huge. Like you don't hear about chemistry problems. Hell, you don't really even hear stuff out of LeBron's camp about LeBron being upset about Luke. It's more from the Magic Johnson wing where it does feel like they've wanted him gone. Almost more to say that we hired the coach because Luke Walton was inherited by, Magic Johnson and Pelinka inherited him. So I think that most of the leaks about Luke's job have actually come from like Magic and Rob and those guys.
Which is funny. They don't have to leak. They could just fire him.
That's true. Well,
they're in charge.
I think Jeannie Buss is stepping in front of that for now. But if there's a stretch of games like this one, I do think that, yeah, it's very possible Luke could be gone. And by the way, absolutely from just, birdies I've heard, Ty Lue is definitely an option if that happens.
Wow. That's crazy.
The other comparisons, a lot of them were mean and trolling, but like I legitimately think Ty Lue is a good coach. So that one, I don't think it would be hilarious that it would be hilarious that the Lakers hired him, but not because it would be a bad hire. I do think Ty, if he's healthy, that could be something that would work out, but it's always awkward.
And look, man, like you guys are saying, if LeBron is a system and LeBron responds to certain people, then yeah, he's going to be a good fit. And that, by the way, that's a talent in itself. Like Ty Lue clearly got to LeBron and they had a good working relationship. So absolutely.
Damon, where would you rank the Lakers organization if you had to pick like a third of the NBA, top third, middle third, or bottom third?
I'm going to go ahead and say just because they've drafted well and they've managed the cap well, let's say medium third. Let's be nice.
Yeah, I feel like they would do well with like an NFL front office where they're trading back in the draft like Bill Belichick, because apparently they do a lot better with those late picks. So if you turn like those twos into like a 15 and a 27, I think that would have really turned for them.
Yeah, I can't figure out if they're good or not. And it's really easy to shit on their offseason signings that aren't LeBron because they were terrible. So much of this team is comprised of things I do like. Like, I really like Kuzma. I think he's a really, really nice, interesting player. I love watching Josh Hart play, even though he's gone through a bit of a dip.
I just saw a guy who charges $500 a month for gambling advice say that he should be benched for Michael Beasley. So I don't know about that. But I do like Josh Hart. And I'm a big Lonzo believer. I really like watching him play. Yeah. But then, like, you know, like, they're just so sloppy sometimes,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big thing. And I almost wonder, like, if they would almost, like, if this exact same group would be better served in a different place other than LA. But it's like just the Lakers allure, like, somehow makes them sloppier and messier in a way that really hurts their credibility.
Yeah. So I think, you're making fair points. Look, the thing is, when Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka took over, if you look at the state of the team when they took it over, yes, we can revisit the D'Angelo Russell trade, but the trade that we made with you guys was pretty good.
It was a great trade for you guys.
Right.
And even if Mo Wagner never ends up good, it was a great.
Oh, hang on. Right. I want to cut you off 1 second, Damon. Hold that thought. The jokes about, oh, yeah, the Cavs gave the Lakers cap space to sign LeBron. No, we helped you guys get the second max slot necessary to get LeBron, but apparently he didn't give a shit and went there to make movies. So I don't think that trade necessarily is why LeBron ended up in LA.
Right.
But in its own space, it was a great trade for them. No way around it.
And the one
right. And given how bad how poorly the Cavs draft, I'm okay with giving up that late first for Larry Nance, especially if it meant getting Isaiah Thomas the hell off my team. I mean, we don't even do that great with lottery picks half the time. I'm okay with transferring that for Larry Nance.
But anyway, Damon, continue your point.
I think, honestly, this is going to sound like a very backhanded compliment, but I really do think that I credit their sort of discipline where they're like, okay, we're going to sign these one-year crappy deals that are going to expire. We're not going to sort of panic trade. We're going to stick to our plan. Now, is the plan perfect? Are they going to be able to execute? I think the true judgment of this front office will happen this summer. I can't get to LeBron's motivation to coming. I was obviously when he joined, I was very, full Lakers exceptionalism. He's here for the young guys and he's here for that. Let's see what happens this summer. If they have a big summer, I think that when we look back at this sort of 2.5-3 year regime and every decision they've made to kind of set the table for this, it'll look great. And if it doesn't, then we're going to be looking at LeBron's, you know, the remainder of his prime and kind of wondering what could have happened.
Here's what I don't understand.
They're going to wait until the summer. You don't think anything's happening this season?
No. I think they're sticking to their guns. I do not, I know Bradley Beal has been being debated amongst Lakers fans whether or not the Lakers should kind of go for him. I personally, like, for the same reason I felt they should go for Kawhi, I'm like, yeah, absolutely. Like, if you can cash your young players in where you're just hoping they pan out and you can get a bona fide, you know, surefire kind of all-star player, you can trade them later. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're stuck, but I absolutely do not think that they're going to chip into their cap space. They seem as confident in their plan to get LeBron as they are in their upcoming summer.
I just still don't understand. As guys have moved around and reports have come out, it just feels like the road to a second star is just murkier and murkier. Like, the best laid plans of mice and men, it kind of feels like one of those. Like, the Paul George thing, just kind of, like, something weird happened there.
Yeah.
And, like, imagine how good this Lakers team would be with Paul George, by the way.
Honestly, I will believe this. I don't care if it's confirmed or not. I will absolutely believe that LeBron James and the front office of the Lakers assumed that Paul George was coming.
That has to be the case.
It has to be.
I think they were very surprised by how that played out. And, you know, like, just think about, like, the Magic on Kimmel, like, making the tampering joke. Right.
Like, we didn't even get a meeting.
Yeah. It was so weird. And then, like, you know, the Jimmy thing, that wouldn't have been a right fit anyway. Kawhi doesn't feel like he's going there. It's like, and then the Davis thing, if you can't trade for him, doesn't it feel like you're not going to get him? Are you really going to wait 2 years?
No, it's going to have to be a trade. It's going to have to be a trade. It's going to have to be this summer.
Doesn't Davis have to orchestrate it then? Doesn't he have to say, I'm not re-signing with Boston. I'm not re-signing with anyone that is not the Los Angeles Lakers.
The Celtics are doing a fantastic job of devaluing their own assets. We don't need Clutch involved yet.
I guess that's fair, but they still have like 9 first rounders to give away.
Well, and I'm worried about Justin and I have talked about this, but I am worried about a team like Philadelphia just throwing in Simmons or Embiid and saying, "Hey, take him." Like we'll take Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I just feel like there's a lot of roadblocks to this plan. It doesn't feel as preordained as it felt with like George. Like when they had George, it was like, "Oh, wow." Like if they just sign LeBron and George and then they're good, you know, right. Like then they can just cash in everyone for the third star. Now you have to be kind of conscientious about that. Like right. You have to, because if you trade for Davis, which feels like that, you're not just signing Davis. You're going to have to trade for him. Then all your cap room's kind of eaten up. So now you just have LeBron and Davis. Just LeBron and Davis. But you get my point. You get my point. Like the road to that third star is not as clear. But I guess the counter to that is that as the Warriors break up, yeah. You might not need 3 stars anymore.
Right, exactly. Especially if the two you have is LeBron and Anthony Davis. But yeah.
But LeBron's going to get old soon, man. Like, I cannot shake that they are like that. LeBron's going to get
that age, man. I think that by playing him at the highest pace of his career, they're going to preserve him, especially
full time power forward, too.
Yeah. Oh, no. There was also some small ball 5, obviously.
Well, my favorite part of the small ball 5 LeBron era was just they just made Kuzma do it.
That experiment lasted like 4 minutes.
Well, yeah, of course it did. Kuzma's like a charitable power forward. And then they made him guard Nikola Jokic. Didn't go well. Yeah, this Lakers team is weird. Have you, I guess, like before we kind of wrap things up, like I don't know, like has the LeBron experience been worth it so far? Like I know I remember when we talked when I was in California for BlizzCon in November, you were kind of like getting frustrated because you hadn't had like any like fuck you, I'm LeBron games,
right?
Like it was just like he was like, because like only Cavs fans, I think, because not even Heat fans, because he was kind of going nuts all 4 of those years he was there. But I feel like really only Cavs fans up till now knew that LeBron could put up 28, 8, and 8 and not have a good game.
Right.
Because everyone else would just be like check the box score and say, oh, well, you know, he was good. Rest of the Cavs sucked. And now I think you kind of understand, like, what's been your experience with LeBron so far?
I think it's absolutely like the noise around LeBron gets really, really loud and really, really annoying at times. Like everything is just magnified. But I do think that by virtue, my Laker exceptionalism is kicking in. We're used to this. Like we are absolutely used to this environment. The only thing that I'll say, like I was really frustrated when the year started where LeBron was playing at like 50% intensity. And there was criticism of like Luke Walton. That was when the Magic Johnson meeting happened. That was probably like still to this day, despite, you know, there's been some plenty of bad losses. Lakers lost to the Knicks and Cavs this month, right? That was the height of my frustration because it's like, this guy's not even trying and we're going to criticize the fact that the team's not playing well. And this roster isn't built right and et cetera, et cetera. Like I was really upset then. But big picture, yeah, man, it's totally worth it. Like, The Lakers were in, if we were relying on just Brandon Ingram and Lonzo Ball to take the leap this year for us to have an entertaining team. Like that.
This was my big point when Justin was kind of saying he was kind of over it. Was just like, because, yeah, there's the circus. Yeah, if you're not going to win a title, is it worth the circus? And like, it's like, dude, you're watching a savant 82 games a year.
Right.
And like,
I don't
Let
know,
me
man.
Tell you right now, harder. Man.
I just watched RJ Barrett struggle against his own defense. I'm very, very ready for the future. This man fits in.
RJ is already a future Cav, given that neither can score against a 2-3 zone. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just like, I just think the ends justify the means with LeBron, and like,
yeah,
and getting to watch him be okay and give marginal effort night to night is actually so much better than watching someone try really hard and be not nearly as good.
No, it's true. And I think, yeah, the question of, is it worth it? I think when the pressure is going to come on LeBron, it's not going to come this year. The pressure is going to come on LeBron if it's clear that nobody else wants to play with him this summer. It's like a purposeful choice. Like, no, I don't want to play with LeBron. Like Kawhi, he leaves Toronto, but he goes to a team. He goes to like the Clippers, right? If the Clippers get a couple of free agents and the Lakers don't, and LeBron is obviously pacing himself into the season, I think that's when it gets not fun for everybody involved. But until then, I think when he's on the court, you sort of forget about everything. You're like, this guy's incredible. I can't imagine somebody doing what he's doing. And he's doing it for my team. It's really exciting. Our expectations are always going to be that a LeBron team should win a game. And we sort of have to come to terms with the fact that this year that's not going to be the case.
No. Yeah. 23-21 is not where I thought you guys would be, though. I was higher on this. And I guess no one thought LeBron would miss 11 games or whatever.
Right.
But,
right. Record-wise, I'm fine with where they are, because I did expect them to be around the All-Star break, hovering around like the 7-9 sort of seed, and then go on a run as they sort of learn to play with each other and sort of the noise quiets down and et cetera, et cetera. What I am still frustrated by, and we'll see if it sort of fixes itself, but the up and down nature of the effort of the team, that is just, you know, it's driving me crazy right now.
What percent chance would you give the 2018-2019 Los Angeles Lakers to miss the playoffs?
Miss the playoffs?
Yeah.
20%.
Nuh-uh. Come on. You think it's lower than that.
Dude, 20%. I'm telling you, man. Like, look at the teams that are right there.
Come on.
Okay, fine. 10%.
Thank you. I think it's 5%.
But the thing is, if 1%. They're an 8 seed, if they're an 8 seed, I can't wait for the Nuggets. Bring me the goddamn Nuggets.
The Nuggets aren't going to finish with a 1 seed. Come on.
I want them to. I want the Nuggets in the first round.
Well, sure you do, because you'll win.
I don't know if they'd win, but
Nuggets are fraudulent.
I'm only worried about the Thunder and the Light Years crew.
Unless Nikola Jokic finds some Dayquil, I'm not going to believe in the Nuggets in the playoffs.
Unless Brandon Ingram finds a Subway, I'm not going to believe in him. So,
How dare you?
Damon, thank you so much for coming on, man. We really do appreciate it. What do you want to plug?
That was shit effort, Justin.
That was awful and it's awful late. And...
you made us stay up, Mr. Pacific time zone.
That is true. So I'll take that back. I had a lot of fun. I love you guys. I love this podcast. Just follow me on Twitter. And thank you.
Well, do you want to give your
hand? Go Lakers.
It's late. I don't want to check for it.
Oh, yeah.
Help me out.
D-A-M-A-N-R.
Wow.
A-M-A-N-R.
Another guy in L.A. that doesn't know how to lead a team on his own. All right. I appreciate it.
How dare you?
I also appreciate our listeners a lot. Thank you guys all so much. Remember, if you want to support the podcast, you can do so by subscribing, leave a rating, leave a review. And if you want to be part of our Discord chat, you could do so by sending us a screenshot of their review to chasedownpod@gmail.com, and we'll send you a link. So we will be back later this week. And until next time, go Caps.